And on the line now, I have editor of the Dublin People, Padraig Conlon. Good afternoon, Padraig.
Good afternoon, John. And can I just once again commend you on the quality of music? Is always very good. Waiting on the intro there to come in, so commend you on that.
Okay, well, listen, thanks for that. We're going to talk about some of this week's stories from the Dublin People, and I know the Olympics are up and running, and the Irish seem to be doing quite well. But there's an outsider.
Yeah. So it's Eimear Lamb. I don't know if. Well, I'm sure most of Dublin probably heard now. During the night, herself and her three colleagues won the final four. It's called, isn't it? Obviously a rowing competition. It wouldn't be my area of expertise now in regards to sport. No. But Eimear hails from Cabra, and I know her sister competed in the 2016 Olympics. She got to a final, and now Eimear's gone one better, and they got a bronze medal. And I wasn't watching it live, and I watched it back this morning, but it was brilliant. I said, I don't know too much about the sport, but I could see like they showed great spirit. I think at the halfway stage they were back and fourth, and the British team were in third in the medal position, and the Irish girls hunted them down, and eventually coming into the last few hundred metres, they blitzed them and to pip them to the bronze medal, which was brilliant. And it's always good to see Irish athletes doing well, obviously. But the startling thing, that I don't know if you were the stats, they were saying prior to this only four Irish females had ever won medals at the Olympics. So obviously now we doubled that result in one event, which is great. So
yeah, that's great.
All power to them.
Yeah, fair play to them. And I'm just looking at it as well. 1,600 homes affected by burst water mains in Rush.
Yeah,
that's crazy, isn't it?
I know. Yeah, that's ongoing at the moment. Like, there's a lot of people will tell you, you know, this, you know, around the time of the water charges, the infamous water charges a few years ago, that a lot of the pipes are extremely old, especially in Dublin. You know, a huge overhaul. I think an overhaul is supposedly had started, which is going to take, you know, years and years and years. So, you know, this kind of thing, I suppose, is inevitable. But yeah, a lot of people put out there today with it, and hopefully they get it fixed soon.
Yeah, and I know that if the DCC, if they buy a house, they bought a house in Narrow Road, and they replace the pipes, the old pipes.
That's the way now. Yeah, exactly. But there's a whole thing even as well. We did a story on a few weeks ago about the amount of lead in the pipes in Dublin as well.
Yeah.
And especially on the north side. It's just like frightening, like hundreds of thousands of pipes with lead seeping into the water supply. Like, you know, I suppose the sooner they get this done, the better. But, you know, I suppose we're going to get more of these kind of problems.
Yeah. These things to take forever sometimes in Ireland. And is this your story here? Man avoids jail term for providing customers with illegal access to cable television.
Well, yeah, it was our court reporter sent that in. Yeah. So I suppose there's a lot of illegal satellite TV activity going on around the country.
There is a lot of dodgy boxes and all sorts
dodgy
of things.
Exactly. So I doubt it's a unique case, but man received a suspended sentence, I think, from memory, which seems to, you know, it wouldn't be exactly, you know, a crime that I suppose the TV companies will say it is, but
And the chap that did it, he told Gardaí he was glad he'd been caught because he wanted to focus on his legitimate business. Why didn't he do that to begin with?
Well, fair play to him, but you know, he's straight up. I said we all kind of probably be aware of the dodgy box game going on for the last 10 years at least anyway. I seem to remember hearing something last year that they're able to scramble all the signals now or something. That, so for the people who get them for the sports channels and that, they're actually don't really work anymore for them. So I thought they kind of died out of it. But obviously the old dodgy box market is still strong.
Okay, and what's this one? Regulator inspectors report on Carew Housing Association.
Yeah, so Carew, they're a housing charity based in the city centre, just the middle of Gardner Street, actually. So as the charity's regulator said, they received a quote concern last year about the charity, just in regard to a couple of issues. So they obviously they went away with the cooperation of the charity, and the report has been released this morning, actually. And a couple of things in there, I suppose, were being questioned. There was the use of the charity's property by, I think it was a friend of one of the board, stuff like that there. So it's all in the report, but, you know, nowadays, obviously, with charity, to think, especially what we've seen over the last few years, and with Bower there recently again, and so I think, you know, charities regulator is probably going to be working a lot more to make sure that, you know, all these charities have been run properly, and you know, nothing to. But in this regard, I think that there was no serious, concerns found, but they were just responding to, as I said, quote, a concern that was reported then, but seems to be above board.
Well, that's good anyway, because as you said, there is a lot of controversy about some charities and the wages their CEOs are getting paid and all this.
Yeah, well, also, in this country, it's so easy to set up a charity, and obviously it's tax-free as well, like, so, you know, I suppose you're always going to get a certain percentage of the population that might try and, you know, take advantage of that. But I think it's going to be a lot harder now in the future, obviously.
So, and how is the readers' page going?
Yeah, going good. Yeah, another, well, Angry Cyclist come in for
another
next
one.
Week. I don't know what to do with it, like, to be honest with you. We had another guy since I was speaking to you, so we had one of the pro-cycling people, and we printed their letter. So now this other person has retaliated, and I'm seriously considering whether to print it or not, because after all the flack that happened.
Yeah, you got a bit of abuse, all right.
It's kind of calmed down a bit now.
I'll probably have to stir it up again now, Paddy.
I don't know if I want to poke to have a hornet's nest again,
Someone's sitting at home now saying, oh, Jesus, I've got all about that. I must write a letter.
We need a bit of debate on this, but it is something that you see now in the national papers as well. I've seen there's actually a letter in the Irish Times today from cyclists defending. There does seem to be this mad, I don't know, it's Irish thing, whatever, between some drivers and some cyclists. That some drivers seem to have a lot of anger against cyclists and vice versa.
Yeah.
So I don't know how we're going to move forward, some kind of peace and reconciliation conference or something. Get them all together.
Get everybody into the conference centre.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. The person who sent in the letter made the point that he thought that anybody, as part of, you know, your doing your driving test, that you should also, there should be a module on cycling and how to cycle and, you know, what it's like for a cyclist. So some of these angry drivers who don't like cyclists might actually then have a bit of empathy for them and go, well, actually, they're quite vulnerable there on their little piece of metal while I'm in my 5-ton wrecking machine, like, whatever. But I can't see that happening either, but it was a good idea.
No, you never know what way people are going to react. You know.
No, you're sure not, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm sure yourself, you've seen stories.
Yeah, I could tell you for your stories, Ellery. Just the Stardust inquest, I'm looking here now. I'm looking online here, so I don't know whether this was recent or last week. The fifth preliminary hearing.
Yeah, so that was, it's taking place today. The families were notified at very short notice that they were going to be allowed be present for that part of the inquest, which is a big turning point. Representatives from the family sent in press release saying, you know, that obviously it's an important development, and that, you know, I think quite a large number of them were going to be present, but obviously some couldn't because it was extremely short notice. We all hope to see the truth come out eventually in the inquest.
It's very frustrating for the families.
It's one of the it just seems to and then there seems to be all these roadblocks constantly pulling away then them getting justice. So I hope it's, you know, the same as everybody, and I hope it's obviously this time that the truth comes out.
Yeah, and it was in back into September 2019, the Attorney General ordered that new inquest be conducted, and it's only happening now.
Exactly. And then there was the whole issue just a few months ago where some of the families, their entitlement to legal aid was in question, and that put the whole thing in jeopardy again. And that was resolved kind of last minute, but it's just, I suppose, speaking to some of the families, you know, they're kind of, this thing has just been, you know, one thing after another with them. So I suppose they're nothing. I suppose takes them by surprise anymore.
No,
by dealing with the legal system with regard to this. So hopefully now there's no more, you know, no more issues. And just get to the truth of this.
We'll hope for the best. And anything else now that jumps to mind?
No, well, it's getting pretty quiet now. We just had a story in the paper this week about St. Anne's Tennis Club. There's a kind of strange scenario has developed there. I don't know if you're aware of this, the tennis courts in St. Anne's Park. There's about 15 of them, roughly.
Yeah, I'm aware of them, all right, but I didn't hear it.
Yeah, so it was Larry O'Toole brought up the councillor Larry O'Toole brought up a motion or a question. So what happened was, basically, the ownership of the courts was transferred from the council to a club called St. Anne's Tennis Club, which, nothing wrong with them, whatever. But so you can't use the courts unless you're a member of this tennis club. So then people that have been using them for like years and years, they went, okay, fair enough, can I become a member then? And they went, no, there's no more memberships available. We spoke to a few people who use it, and they're going, like, you know, it's like, I just want to play tennis. Thinking, they told me there's no more memberships, they're not currently accepting new members. So, but now since that, there's been a development, and now there's nothing against the tennis club. Do you know what I mean? It's run by volunteers and everything. Do you know what I mean? So it's not having a go with them. It was more the council. But, you know, the council was saying, oh yeah, we're looking at it. You're in a lovely warm spell for the last couple of weeks. Yeah. Like, a load of people who've been playing there for years with that. Standing on the sidelines, couldn't play, and now the weather's changed. I shouldn't be laughing, but
it couldn't be anything to do with COVID, could it? Because it's an
Well, initially, that's what it used to be. Apparently, the way it was pre-COVID was you could pay and play. You could just rock up and pay your money, and on you go. So the council said no, they didn't want to be putting their staff in a vulnerable position, carrying and also like holding loads of. How much cash are they going to be holding there? Like, do you know what I mean? Is that, you know, going to be thousands of people playing every day? Like, but that's one of the people I spoke with for the story, who's been using the courts there for like 30 years or whatever. He used to say it was so annoying. Like, you'd be out walking the dogs in the evening, like, and the courts would be lying empty. Like, he'd say, bad for a game. Like, but the council say now they're going to get it sorted in, but, you know, and just this quirky kind of story that's, Well, no, that's another. It was another busy weekend for Skerry's lifeboat. They say if that was the weekend before last, they said 7 people over the weekend. So
it was a weekend. A tragic week as well. And it's amazing that they're all volunteers. these guys.
I know, yeah, absolutely. They do great work. More power.
Yeah.
It must be very stressful enough.
Definitely, and fair play to them, as you say. Now, if people want to take out an ad for a charity gig or anything like that, how do they get in touch?
Yeah, just send it to me, news@dublinpeople.com. Feel free, all of them, more the merrier. We'll never turn any all reasonable request.
Okay, unless they're abusive.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's news@dublinpeople.ie.
No,
.com.
Yeah, we're on patriotic. We're on
the .ie. .com.
Shocking.
Okay, listen, anything else you'd want to add, Padraig, before we go?
No, that's it, John. No, all grand. And winding down, it's been a bit quiet now. It's probably going to be quiet for next year, you know,
yourself. Yeah, August, everything gets quiet, news-wise.
Yeah. Exactly, but we keep plugging away,
and we will. This show for the month of August goes down to an hour because it's so hard to get people to, you know. Anyway, listen, Padraig, thanks very much for taking the call. We'll be talking again in a couple of weeks, hopefully.
Cheers, John. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
All the best.
Thanks, Padraig.
See you, man. Bye.
Take care.
Bye.